Welcome to the Licking County Locker Room. Here on K98.7, each week we feature a local high school from Licking County, interviewing the athletic director, coaches, players, and more, live at Ship Brothers Brewing on Church Street in downtown Newark. Tonight's show is brought to you by Ship Brothers Brewing, Shamrock Printing, All-Star Embroidery, Q's Designer Jewelers, Licking Memorial Health Systems, Lashley Tractor Sales, Desserts Bakery, Buckeye Games and Flea Market, Park Lanes, Wright Brothers Power, and the Toy Store. Now, here's Brian Mays with the Licking County Locker Room on K98.7.
And a pleasant good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Licking County Locker Room. We are live at Ship Brothers Brewing at 23 West Church Street in downtown Newark. Come on in and get yourselves some great food and some great beverages. Another beautiful Monday night here in Licking County, and no better way to spend it than right here at Ship Brothers Brewing. I tell you what, they've got a burger for the month, the Frankenburger, and you better come in if you're really, really hungry, because it's looking like two slider patties, hash browns, a chicken tender with sweet chili sauce. What else we got on this thing? We got some white American cheese, you got some tater tots, a pretzel bun, all that for $12.99. You can't beat that. Can't beat that. So come on in and join us here tonight at the Licking County Locker Room. And tonight we are featuring the Hornets of Licking Heights, and we'll talk some athletic sports with them coming up in just a little bit.
The Licking County Locker Room with Brian Mays, live at Ship Brothers Brewing in downtown Newark, here on K98.7.
And welcome back, everyone. We're happy to be joined by members of the Licking Heights High School football team, as well as head coach Austin Duyor. And, Coach, thanks for joining us. And, first of all, what's it like being a Fighting Scot?
It was pretty cool. They didn't make us wear the kilts all the time, so we didn't have to worry about anything like that. didn't worry about flashing anybody. But yeah, it was good. It was a great time.
Two years at Worcester, just for those of you that may not be familiar. And I always, since I'm an Otterbein grad, we always try to rip the NCAC whenever we can.
Yeah, of course.
That's what we do. All right. A couple weeks ago, we had your game against Newark Catholic. And I would say I knew there was talent there, and it was one of those games that just didn't work out. And you battled Granville, and you said, it's coming. It's coming. And last week, you put it together in a very solid victory against Zanesville.
Yeah, I think that Newark Catholic game was sort of a rock bottom for us a little bit. We were kind of reeling a little bit. And after that game, we took down all the stats out of the locker room. We said, we're 0-0. None of those games mattered for a league championship. And so we said, Granville, we're starting fresh for the five-game season. And I think our kids responded to that.
They absolutely did, because you've battled Granville closer than anybody has the entire year. And then to go on the road, and Zanesville, yeah, they're a little bit down, but there's some talent on that team, no question about it. And to have it work offensively and defensively, I mean, did you notice it in practice? I mean, how confident were you going over there and saying, we got a pretty good chance to win this game?
Well, I think it started, like I said, it started with the Granville week. I think we've practiced really well, and really all season I've never questioned our effort, but I really feel like the execution, limiting penalties, limiting mistakes, and then starting to then make plays was important. In the Newark Catholic game, we got some turnovers, but we were always, they were like on our 10 when they fumbled. And we kind of, even though we had some turnovers in the Zanesville game, we flipped the script. And so we limited our mistakes and put us in a better position when we made plays to capitalize on them.
This is your first year as the head coach after a couple years as the assistant. Thoughts of how it's gone so far, the changes being from an assistant to a head coach?
Yeah, I think it's always interesting kind of going from an assistant to a head coach. And there's pros and cons to it. I think you see what needs to be fixed because you've been there. And then, you get to always use some of the ideas that the coach might have said no to before. But on the other hand, I think it was probably an adjustment for some of the kids to where, I was just an assistant and, I maybe didn't do as much yelling or any of that kind of stuff. But then, you know, now that I'm the head coach, the role has to shift a little bit, and there might have been I think there was an adjustment period for everybody involved.
We're going to bring on some of your leaders in a minute, but did that help the upperclassmen maybe with that adjustment for you?
Yeah, I think it did. I think even though I had to change my role a little bit, I still think they kind of understood what to expect. And I've tried to do a good job of communicating where we need to make changes. So I think, you know, and you can ask them maybe, but, you know, I think that they've understood, you know, what's been the same and what's been different.
All right, so let's welcome in three of your outstanding players, Ethan Witt and Chris Harvey, both linemen. And here we go. I'm going to get to Zach, but I'm going to try it. Zachary Abdullahi. He's going to say close enough. Zachary Abdullahi. Okay, so the law is the key part. Abdullah. Okay, Zach. All right, so guys, let's talk about it from your perspective, getting that win last week after a couple of tough games back and forth. How important was it to get the win last week?
It was really important after 5 weeks of losing because of penalties and undisciplinedness on our behalf. We really needed a win to turn our season around and hopefully win more games.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Coach, I would say Newark Catholic was our rock bottom, but after what Coach said and Boyer both said, how we're just going to flip a page, you know, we're 5-5, we need to look towards a championship. It definitely helped, in my opinion, and it helped boost our morale a little bit. And going into the Granville game, we definitely showed out a lot better. And obviously the win after Zanesville, it definitely boosted our morale a little bit going forward.
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree with that. But I would say I feel like our rock bottom was definitely after our Utica loss. Before going into Newark Catholic, because we were all still down and bummed out. I mean, we had some players quit, and then that killed the team. And then we went into Catholic, that went down, so that made us more at rock bottom. But then, like Coach said, start 0-0, going to Granville, we showed out and went into Zanesville, brought us home a win.
That's a good point you bring up, because that was a gut wrencher against Utica. The victory looked to be in sight, but as everybody knows, you got to play to the final whistle. And sometimes it's magic on the other team, and they've had magic this year. So, how did you guys, as leaders on this team, pull the reins and just say, you know, yeah, we've heard Coach say, okay, we start the second season, but as 16, 17, 18 year olds, sometimes it's tough to get that message across. So what did you see, and how did you kind of take his words and try to implement it with your peers? Okay, somebody has to answer this.
I definitely think we just put our heads down, and I think at practice it got a little bit more quiet. Instead of people being cocky or joking around, I think we put our heads down a little bit more. And after what Coach said, we wanted a win. We needed one for our team, and we just put our heads down and started getting to work.
We really, I mean, our focus before was slim to none. It was always people joking around and always trying to be. They were playing for themselves, not for the team. So I mean, after that, we kind of all just really got it across, especially us seniors. This is not how we want our season to go. Especially because this is our last one. So we really just kind of, like Ethan said, we put our heads down and we just drove forward. We needed that win really bad.
Every loss hurts, but especially that one, there was a different vibe in the air in practice. We put our heads down, we worked harder, and we led by example.
For you guys, all three of you, you play positions either on the line or tight end linebacker where physical play, game in and game out, and you guys can kind of make or break how it's going to go if you can control the line of scrimmage. I've asked this on a couple of other linemen, because also the game has changed a little bit since Wimby, when Coach played as a tight end, where your physicality is watched a little bit more. You really can't block or do too much after the whistle. So how do you really just try to take that intensity from the snap to the whistle and then just kind of peel off? I know it's a long question, but you just see it all the time now. It's you better not do anything right near the end of the tackle. So what do you guys think?
It starts during practice, bringing that intensity during practice, translate over to the game, and winning that line of scrimmage wins the game.
I mean, like you said, when Coach played, there was a lot. It was a lot more physical. You could be a lot more physical after the play, but nowadays you really can't. So you just really have to control your emotions in the game. If you don't control your emotions, it's going to be a long day.
You're having a tough time with this question over there.
No, not really. I just keep thinking that, you know, yeah, I've had my fair share of penalties. But I just kept thinking about every single one. But I definitely try to play the quiet game. Usually a lot of people like to talk crap. You know, they like to say stuff across the line. Usually, like me, I'm more of a quiet type. Like once I get a tackle, I stay quiet and just do it all over again. But we definitely get watched a lot closer. But that's okay. You know, that means you got to improve your skill a little bit more. You got to improve in different areas. And for me, like this year, I had to work on hands a lot more. Like back then, I used to just bull rush all the time, and now I have to like actually use my hands on offense and defense. And I appreciate it more, honestly. I appreciate it being a little bit more strict because it gives us a chance to learn and actually like try different things. So I appreciate it.
Well, and there is so much scheming now. I think at the high school level, and I know I'm talking to kids and coaches, probably maybe more for you, of where they really have to be in their position. Talent will win a lot of plays, but if you're not playing your position exactly the way that play is supposed to go, it's not going to work.
Well, I feel like execution is a great equalizer. And I feel like that was kind of some of our problem early in the year is, you know, we weren't always executing out of position. And that's kind of the thing that can, you know, a lesser talented team that's more disciplined can win the day, you know, because, you know, a talented player out of position loses a lot of his advantage. So it's very important, and it's something that we've been trying to stress because we feel like we do have a lot of talent, is playing with that talent within the framework. And, you know, we get a lot of different offenses, a lot of different defenses, and so, you know, week to week there's adjustments that you got to be disciplined with, and if you can, then your talent will shine through.
So the rival matchup coming up with Watkins, and they are probably feeling as you guys did after the Utica game, because it was a tough loss to them, to Valley, and I can tell you, being there were four players that just sat on the bench in their uniform for 30 minutes after that game, just not understanding it. So you guys have been in this position. You know what they're feeling, and adding that to a rival matchup, we'll get to them in a little bit, but just talk about the game and what it means when you do take on Watkins.
Going out there and winning, regardless of what happens beforehand and after, it's the win that matters.
Controlling penalties. I feel like we've gotten a lot of flags, but definitely controlling penalties, controlling turnovers, playing our best game, and keeping our cool emotions. This is going to be a game where emotions are extremely high, and I feel like if we just keep our cool, we'll be fine.
Well, before you answer it, that's what I was going to. The emotions come up to this game where you can sometimes get too high for a game, and we've seen that in a couple of games. So, how do you temper that, and then how do you make sure even the youngsters understand? Yeah, this is our rival, and we want to beat them more than anything. But if you let your emotions get to you, that's going to be in the favor of the Warriors.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely, you know, at the end of the day, it's football, but I also have a lot of respect for Watkins and their team. I know I've met a couple people that are in the same grade as us that are doing the exact same thing we're doing. Like, we just want to win. And, you know, there's a lot, between rivals, there's a lot of, like, hate and resentment, but in the end, we're just trying to be the best we possibly can be, and I have a lot of respect for Watkins, so I'm excited for this game, not only for us just being rivals, but they're a good team, and I want to see what we're capable of against a good team. So,
would you look at this game, Coach, as a measuring stick to see the progress that you've gotten from earlier in the year?
Yeah, I think that's maybe true for every game. But this is certainly one where, you know, we've talked about discipline and things. And discipline, when the emotions are so high, that's when it's most important to have discipline.
Yeah.
So from that standpoint, if we're disciplined with the biggest crowd we're going to have all year and the most hype and all that stuff, if we're disciplined when those bullets are flying, that's going to be a very important thing for this program, not just for this year, but how we build the program in years to come.
And not to put you on the spot in front of your players, but there's probably a little bit more nerves for you as a head coach in this first rival game.
Yeah. It's been, going back to the whole assistant head coach thing, it's been good that I've coached against them and played, you know, coached in this game twice. So I kind of already know what it's about. And actually, if anything, if I'm being honest, there's less nerves.
Okay.
Because I know what to expect. I think if I was a coach from the outside that had no idea about this rivalry, and all I heard all time after I got this job was, gotta beat Watkins, gotta beat Watkins, I might have that. But I think already having been through this twice and been on the winning end and the losing end, I think it's more calming and reassuring that I've been there and I know what it takes to get us over the top.
Before I let you guys go, if there, and you kind of brought this up in the previous question, but if there's one key area that you and your team need to focus on Friday night, what would it be?
Discipline.
Discipline?
100% discipline.
Along with that, penalties. We can't have as much penalties as we had the years prior.
I'd definitely say discipline, but at the same time, we just got to pick each other up. Because I know in the past games, especially at the beginning of the season, when we weren't doing so hot, we started arguing with each other. We started crumbling from the inside out. And I think a part of, especially with this game, we just gotta bring each other up, like a classic Remember the Titans story. Like, we gotta do it. We gotta pick each other up.
Well, and this game is going to have the roller coaster of emotions.
Oh, absolutely.
A team's going to hit a big play. You guys might hit a big play. And how do you maintain that ultimate goal of what you want to accomplish?
Well, it's a good question.
Again, it's a team sport. It's not just playing as individuals. We are a team, and if you work as a team, it'll be good.
Absolutely.
A lot of faith in Coach. One thing I did notice from the past year is that even when he was an assistant coach, he definitely tried to make a connection with all of us, especially upperclassmen. I remember one time in the hallway, I wasn't wearing my jersey my sophomore year. He's like, Ethan, what are you doing? What was your jersey? I said, you're right, Coach. My bad. But he put himself out there, and the fact that he's a head coach, you know, proves that he loves this program, and I have a lot of respect for Coach in that aspect.
They relate to you, Coach. I mean, that's got to make you feel good. And there's probably, they hit all the key areas that you need to hit on for Friday night's game.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think we're talented enough to win, and we're going to play hard enough to win. You know, like these guys said, and that's something we've been harping on, is the discipline, the execution. That's what's going to win us the game Friday. I don't think anyone's going to come into this game lacking emotion or excitement or energy. It's, can we focus the energy in the places where it needs to be focused on?
Guys, appreciate you coming down on this Monday night. Thanks so much. Congratulations on the win last week, and it's going to be a great one Friday night. Good luck against Watkins.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you.
We'll come back and talk more as you're listening live to the Licking County Locker Room, live from Chip Brothers Brewing, here on Kate 98.7.
We're back, talking high school football with the Licking County Locker Room, live at Chip Brothers Brewing in downtown Newark, here on Kate 98.7.
Well, we are going to change sports. We're not going to be talking football now. We're going to talk a little bump set spike action with Licking Heights Volleyball. We're happy to be joined by head coach Tara Stout. Coach, thanks for joining us. And how many years have you been the head coach at Licking Heights?
This is my first year.
First year? Brand new, so your thoughts of a first-year head coach?
It's not my first year in the program, so I think this is my sixth year in the program, so it was really easy to kind of fill in that spot and fill in that role because I know the girls so well. So it's been fun and you know, just exciting being able to coach them another year.
But there is that transition, even though, you know, that title means something a little bit different. So when the girls found out that you were going to be the head coach, I mean, what was the thought with them and the thought with you? Just like, okay, this, it's not necessarily a different relationship, but a changing relationship.
Yeah, it's a little bit changing. I'm more of a, I have to kind of come down on them a little bit harder as a varsity coach than as a JV coach as I was before. And my philosophies, they had to get used to, even though they knew me. You know, philosophies as a varsity coach sometimes can be just a little bit different as a JV coach or as a middle school coach, which is where I started out at. So,
let's see if that's the case, because we're going to bring on junior captain and setter Taylor Porterfield. And Taylor, so what was it like when you see this individual now as your head coach?
Well, it wasn't too difficult to get used to since we'd already played for her. So it was easier to understand the way she coaches and how she coaches.
And that, I guess that would help a little bit, because at the JV or middle school level, it's wins and losses are nice, but it is developing the player more than anything to see if it's something you want to be interested in when you move to the varsity level and things like that. So maybe that did help the transition, that she knew the type of player that you were and other of your teammates are.
Yeah, I think especially at the JV level, it's preparing you for the varsity level, and she helped develop us to be the players that we are now.
So how did you get interested in volleyball, Taylor?
I started playing in fourth grade. And it was the only sport that really stuck. I wasn't very athletic.
Well, you have to be athletic to play volleyball. I mean, you can't fool anybody on that. But, I mean, you just kind of fell in love with it?
Just like the only sport that was stress relieving and just clicked.
Yeah, all right. I'm always interested in, there's repetition in every sport, don't get me wrong, but there's so much repetition, I think, in volleyball. I know you can change up plays and things of that nature, but it really is, digging for those balls or your serve. I mean, it's got to be just a constant two or three things that you really have to work on. I could be completely wrong on that, but that's from an outsider's view. Is that kind of the case?
Yeah, I think you get a lot of reps, and each rep it's just bettering the ball, trying to get it more perfect, running a better offense, having a better defense.
As a coach, how do you keep them engaged when it's constant repetition?
We do a lot of competitive drills in practice, kind of keep them motivated to, like she said, better the ball. We watch game film so they can kind of stay engaged in the teams that we're going to be coming up against next. But we talk a lot in our huddles about reducing the errors that we have in matches. And so in practice, we get a lot of reps in for passing so we can reduce those errors, or we get a lot of serving reps. And we put them in to challenging situations, so when we get into a game where we're like five sets against, say, Watkins, we're able to make good plays and kind of be used to those challenging plays, and they can execute them positively.
So were you a player back in the day? Not too long ago, but back in the day?
Yes, I played 4 years in high school, and I played 4 years at Ohio Dominican.
Okay, all right. So did you think you always wanted to be a coach after your playing days?
Absolutely. Yep. I remember like your sophomore, junior in high school being like, I like this, and I want to stay around it. And I love the game so much, I wanted to teach others the love of the game, and just kind of wanted to teach young ladies, how to be better young ladies on and off the court. It's just something I've stayed with. So.
Well, and the popularity of this sport has just exploded. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just had a few weeks ago the crowd at Nebraska for their match against, I think it was Nebraska-Omaha, but to have that whole stadium full of folks.
Yeah.
I mean, has it surprised you of the popularity the volleyball has taken off on?
Not really, just because I love the game so much. So it just seems to me it's just going where it needs to go. But it's now you're getting to the point where you can play year-round. And so people, I think, are just seeing it more and more. And now we have the professional team in Columbus. So, it's here.
And I was at a tournament in Columbus this summer of a bunch of girls' teams. I think it was 7th and 8th grade might have been, but the convention center was packed, and they were from all across the state, and I think maybe even some from out of state. So it's demanding, obviously. I mean, if you get involved in this, Taylor, you're in it. I mean, there's really no escaping it, isn't there?
Oh.
So is there any concern about, I think you're past that point, but how do you stay from not getting burned out on something that you really do love, but it can get tiring?
I think burnout usually comes towards the end of the season, but the most important thing is just remembering why you're playing and remembering to do the simple things like get enough sleep, eating the right foods, and just keeping your focus.
So the team right now, 9-10, 8-3 in the LCL. You've won your last couple of matches, and I want to highlight one in a bit, but how do you feel the team is playing right now?
I think we've really started to click and come together as a team, and we're starting to get scrappy, and even though we don't have a lot of hype, we have good strategy, and we're really executing.
All right, so that leads me to another question. When you don't have a lot of height in a sport where height can play a role, what do you have to do differently? And maybe that's a question for both of you.
I think you have to have a good defensive plan. And I think we have that on our team. We have girls that just pick up amazing balls where you think they're about to drop, and all of a sudden we have a hand come out and it's up off the ground and we're going and we're putting it over the net. So they are such a fun team to watch. So fun.
It forces us to work harder, jump higher, move faster so that we can cover for the height we're lacking in.
Scrappiness can go a long way in demoralizing the opponent on the other side.
Yeah.
So I wanted to highlight the match against Granville because it was also volley for the cure. And so to have something as important as it is with that for youngsters to maybe you, and please don't take this the wrong way, Taylor, don't understand the impact of it today, but they could when they're 20, 25, and 30. Just talk a little bit about that, Coach.
I love our Volley for the Cure night because it gives the girls another reason to serve. You know, they are serving the community. They're doing things nice for family or friends that have been impacted by it, and it gives us a chance to wear pink and decorate, and, you know, it's just a great night for them to come out and show their respect for people that have, you know, been going through that. So,
anything you can add to that, or just being a part of it?
Yeah, being a part of it's always really cool to see how many people really will come out and we can make an impact in all their lives and just support.
And I want to highlight, because you guys had that, but I know Heights Athletic Departments, some other sports have done other things for epilepsy and a couple of other things. So it really does seem like the school is entrenched within the community, like you said, serving or whatever. But there seems to be that bond there that everybody has to enjoy. And I think that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I mean, we want to make girls well-rounded. And it's not just on the volleyball court, but it's how are they going to, you know, get out there in the community and, you know, show other ways to support other than just their school. So
yep.
Make them well-rounded. I think that's important.
So as a setter, as you are, that's one of the more important roles, I would think, on a volleyball team. Everybody looks at the serves, and you can have some power serves and things of that nature, but you're setting up the defense. I mean, you're the one that can take over the point depending on how you set up the return. So talk about the importance of that.
Yeah, I think running an offense is very important because you can get ahead of the other team a lot easier if you're faster. You slow down the other team, and it creates a lot of momentum that'll help you just win games.
Anything to add to that, Coach?
Oh, I mean, Taylor does a really good job of seeing that. I think she does a good job of running our offense when she's out on the court, and that's when, you know, she's leading our team in assists right now. So I think that's one of the reasons why. So.
Now this is an old man talking, so I'm not going to try to be negative here, but there are some games or sometimes you're just not feeling it for whatever reason, and in your sport every point is celebrated. So how do you get that if you're not really into it, but the rest of your teammates, you know, are wanting that celebrative a point, or, you know, you win the set, you win the match? How do you keep everybody, I guess, engaged and having that positivity? Because I think you see it with volleyball more than maybe any other sport.
Yeah, when one of us isn't mentally there, it's easy for us to stop acting like a team. And so celebrating every point allows us to get our adrenaline still going and allows us to work together. And there's less communication errors, and it allows us to be more executive.
As a coach, can you sense if that.
Oh, yeah, they're teenage girls. So you can sense it sometimes when they walk in the gym, you're like, oh, how was your day? You know? So.
So is it something that you try to get it out, or do you rely on the team to fight through it as a team?
I think it's all of us. I think, you know, as coaches, we step in and we'll discuss, and then, you know, the captains will step in. Sometimes some of the other coaches will try to pull that energy out of them. But I think it's like a team, you know,
yep.
thing. So.
All right. So we have a match tomorrow night against Heath. Any scouting, any thoughts on that matchup with the Lady Dogs?
Well, we have a game plan.
And you're not going to share it right now, are you?
Hopefully it'll work for us.
are they similar style to you, different style? Are they taller or scrappy like you?
Well, we haven't seen them yet this year.
Okay.
We only play them once. They're usually very good. We usually, you know, have a tough time against them, but I feel like we're playing really well right now, and we have one girl coming back from injury, and we're all well. Like, we've had some sickness going on through the program, so finally have everyone back at practice. And I mean, I think if we can execute our game plan, and like we talk about keeping those errors down, that, you know, we can be successful.
Anything to add to that? Nope. Okay, fair enough. And then final match at home against arch rival Watkins on the 10th, right?
Well, that's our senior night.
Senior night, but then
we're away at Utica our last game. But, yeah, Watkins, our big rival, is our senior night next Tuesday.
So the coach and the players here talked about, you know, that rivalry and trying to keep emotions in check. What's it like for you guys taking on your arch rival in Watkins?
I think it gets pretty tense when we play them. They always seem to be twice as good as they are playing any other team, and I think when we play level-headed, it's when we get point after point, and that's what allows us to win.
Well, yeah, how do you temper emotion in a sport that shows a lot of emotion, but when you've got an arch rival on the other side of the net, too? How do you work with the players to... There is a game plan, and, yeah, you want to beat them more than anybody else, so how do you put that all together and mix it up?
Well, we just ingrain it in their heads to stick to the game plan. If we, you know, have five or six kills in one set, we say, hey, what was working this set? We go with this the next set, you know. Or if something on their side of the net changes, we're like, you know, time out. Okay, hey, this is what's changing. So I think us just staying focused on the things that we can change, and then, you know, we're okay. But, I mean, my hands literally, when we played Watkins last, we went five sets, and my hands were literally shaking after the game. It's just, I mean, it doesn't matter how old I am or how many years, you know, I have not been playing. The game is just still so exciting for me, and, you know, especially against Watkins.
That's the other thing, too. This sport, you can have so much momentum after, you know, say you win the first match or the, you know, the first set. And things can just, it seems like, change on a dime. And I see that a lot. Like, I remember watching the Texas-Ohio State college match where Ohio State was doing so well, and then Texas just hit a switch. So it just seems like it's a roller coaster type of sport.
It is. And we even talk about that. We're like, hey, you know, they're going to come out a different team the next set. So, again, we got to stay focused with what's been working and, you know, go with the flow. If something changes, then, you know, that's something that we change on our end. But, yeah, one game we could be winning 25-15, and the next game you get beat 25-10. And you're like, what just happened? You know, so it happens all the time in volleyball.
Well, we appreciate you both coming down tonight. Thank you so much. You've enlightened me on a sport that I should know more about, because I watch it every once in a while, and it really is, I think, one of the more intense sports that you have that really involves so many players, and some of the rallies are just, like you said, you talk about rally killers. When you're able to get back three or four balls that the other team thinks they've gotten, that can really change on a dime. But we do appreciate you coming down, and good luck tomorrow night against Heath.
Thank you.
We'll wrap up this edition of the Licking County Locker Room after our final timeout here from Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
The King Memorial Health System's mission to improve the health of the community extends above and beyond providing quality health care services to Licking County residents. We value service and philanthropy and support local organizations that uplift and strengthen the entire community. LMHS is committed to supporting community benefits in arts and culture, housing and economic improvement, youth activities, social service organizations, higher education, and community service.
Aches and pains aren't trophies. They're just barriers keeping pros like you from getting the work done. You know better than anyone that this business can be backbreaking. But that's all the more reason to partner with someone who has your back. Ferris is about helping you finish strong and feel good doing it. Ferris commercial-grade mowers feature patented suspension technology that allows you to mow faster and get more done while keeping you comfortable so you can feel good tomorrow. Visit Wright Brothers Power today. Ferris. Work hard. Feel good.
Before you know it, we'll be ringing in 2024.
Go bowling for New Year's Eve at Park Lane. Call 740-899-4131, option 2, to make your reservations for New Year's Eve.
As we're now taking the first 30 spots on each shift.
Pick your shift.
The first shift is 4 p.m. to 6:30 p.m.
$80 per lane for up to 5 guests.
Second shift is 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. for $130 per lane for up to 5 guests.
Don't be left out. Call Park Lanes today.
You must prepay for your reservation.
Hughes Designer Jewelers is excited to announce their new fashion line. Eva Couture comes to life with vivid colors, sleek modern designs, stunning prints, and abstract watercolors. The Eva Couture line at Hughes Designer Jewelers is 100% American-made, women-owned, and handcrafted by art-driven jewelers. Cuffs, necklaces, and earrings hand-gilded with 22-karat gold leaf. With so many options, you'll find the perfect piece. Visit Hughes Designer Jewelers, the place for unique, quality jewelry in downtown Newark.
Now's the time to place your Varsity Jacket order. The earlier, the better. For more than 20 years, All-Star Embroidery in Newark has been Varsity Jacket headquarters for schools all over Licking County. Trust their experts to help you through the whole process, from sizing to application. All steps are handled in-house, which means faster turnaround and no surprise pricing. All-Star Embroidery, 21st Street in Newark, and online at allstarembroidery-ltd.com. allstarembroidery-ltd.com.
Shamrock Printing is the county's best-kept secret. Their customer service and attention to detail makes every order perfect, whether celebrating your seniors or your school. And don't forget about them at your office. Their efficiency and pricing makes them the best choice there, too. Shamrock Printing can now print signage on all kinds of materials, like wood, metal, plastic, and canvas. Whatever you want printed, whatever you want it printed on. Shamrock Printing, South 3rd Street, Newark.
Power and versatility. The Kubota M7 tractor is built for hay and forage work. Up to 168 horsepower, superior loader lift capacity, easy-to-use controls, all-day comfort. And your choice of a 30x15 semi-power shift or Kubota variable transmission. And rated number one in durability and owner experience. Talk to your hometown Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Visit Lashley Tractor Sales in Sainsville or online at LashleyTractor.com.
The Licking County Locker Room with Brian Mays, live at Ship Brothers Brewing in downtown Newark, here on Kate 98.7.
And as we wrap things up here, looking at the schedule coming up this Friday night, first we'll start in the LCL Buckeye. We talked about it, the big rivalry matchup, the Broad Street battle. We got Licking Heights hosting Watkins Memorial. Granville tries to stay undefeated. They will host the Zanesville Blue Devils. Couple of interesting matchups. One non-league, Licking Valley getting out of the LCL Buckeye. They host Wheeling Lindsay, a very good team from Wheeling, and they will give Valley all they can handle that game Friday night at Randy Boffman Stadium. OCC Buckeye, Newark will be hosting Central Crossing. Both those teams looking for their first conference win and also trying to get into the postseason. The winner of that game has an excellent shot of getting that done. Both teams coming in 2-5. LCL Cardinal, Newark Catholic on the road at Lakewood. Both those teams trying to get their first league matchup in their third conference game. You've got Utica at Johnstown. Johnstown 2-0, and the Redskins, how they will respond after their first league loss at home to Heath. And speaking of the Bulldogs, we will have them from Swank Field Friday night entertaining the Northridge Vikings, homecoming for Heath, and Dustin Calhoun, who graduated from Heath, 18th. We'll be bringing his Vikings to town. We'll have it for you pregame at 6:45 and the live kickoff at 7 o'clock. And next Monday here from Ship Brothers Brewing on the Licking County Locker Room, we'll be having the Utica Redskins joining us. Hopefully you can too, Monday night starting at 6:30. So that'll do it for this Monday evening. I'm Brian Mays. Hope you have a great Monday night. You've been listening to the Licking County Locker Room here on Kate 98.7.
This has been the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7. Each week, we feature a local high school from Licking County. Brought to you by Ship Brothers Brewing, Shamrock Printing, All-Star Embroidery, Pugh's Designer Jewelers, Licking Memorial Health Systems, Lashley Tractor Sales, Desserts Bakery, Buckeye Games and Flea Market, Park Lanes, Wright Brothers Power, and the Toy Store. Tune in next week to the Licking County Locker Room here on Kate 98.7.